I'm so pleased you agreed to this interview, Terry. So my name is Bernard John, and I'd like to start with your early life questions, such as where were you born?
Right. I was born in Sedbrook, in Stone Cottages, well, in the Lidjabainan at that time, and I lived in Sedbrook for a long, long time. And eventually got to live in Caldicot, several places in Caldicot. And I've ended up my way back into Mather now. I've been there for about 20 odd years.
So when were you born? When?
When was I born? 1939, November, which is coming up now for my birthday.
And tell me something about the place that you lived, that your home, your earliest memories of your home.
Yes, which was in Stone Cottages, which is a row of cottages, of 20 cottages, and we lived in with my parents at number 19 for many years. I had a sister, unfortunately she died of leukemia when she was 6. And I went to the Sedbrook School and managed to, one way or another, managed to find my way to Larkfield Grammar School. I managed past 11 plus many years ago, and so I ended up in Larkfield Grammar School. I then took a trade. My father found me a job in the Red and White for apprenticeship, and this was for coach building in them days. We used to build buses in wood, believe it or not, and that's going back a long time. And I then went on to British Railways. Give my task to British Railways on maintenance, and then I went back to the Red and White eventually to do another several years, and then I went into teaching in Newport. We were teaching people from called Growing Space, which was unfortunate for people that were very well in their mental capacity. So I used to take on roughly about 15 to 20 pupils per day in workshops, which was in the Pill, Newport Pill. Well, that reminds me.
So going back to the cottage where you were born, can you tell us anything about the history of that house, when it was built?
It's going back a long way there. I think they were built because people were building the Severn Tunnel entrance in Sedbrook. There's a pumping station in Sedbrook, a massive big place, that pumps water from the Severn Tunnel. It was a 24-hour process, something like 24 million gallons per day. And the houses were built for the people who actually worked on that area and that place many, many years ago, and rebuilt it, obviously. Yeah.
And tell me about the house, what, you know, things, if you could, what do you first remember of living there? What's your first memories?
To be in the front room, always the best kept room for Sundays only. That was the front room, as you led in through the front door, and then you live in the back, the kitchen. There was a toilet, but there wasn't a bathroom, actually. So you'd have to wash in the sink and stuff like that. I was lucky. My father worked on the railway in the pumping station, and I was able to, with his fortitude, I was able to go and shower in the railway. On the railway, everybody seemed to do it from the village, well, most of the village, anyway, because we didn't have bathrooms. Toilet down the bottom of the garden in them days.
So the settlement, Sedbrook, was built for the railway, for the tunnel?
Yes, it was, yes. Yes, many, many years ago. I can't think to what age they were built now. Long way back.
And so did your father work for the pumping station?
Yes.
Were there many people in the area that worked for the railway?
Yes, so that was the main job. Other than the ship, there was a shipyard which built lots of different ships for the Second World War. It closed a long time ago, but it was very on a par with Chepstow Shipyard. Yes, that was at the top of the village, and a lot of people worked there, yes.
I mean, would you remember any of that yourself?
Not exactly.
No.
No.
But you knew people
who... I knew all the people that worked there, yes, I did, yeah.
And that ended at the end of the Second World War?
Yes, it did, yes, yeah.
So you continued to live there after you'd passed 11 plus and you went to Larkfield.
Yeah.
So how did you travel to Chepstow?
There was always a bus laid on, a school bus that went from the top of the road. And I became school prefect of all things. They trusted me, didn't they? Except for one occasion when it was snowing really bad, the bus turned up, but all the pupils from going to Larkfield got on there with me. I was the bus prefect. So we got 100 yards and I told them we all to get off, we'd go skating down the pond. So was I in trouble when I got back to Larkfield the following day? Why did I tell them not to come to school? I thought ice skating was much better than snowboarding.
So tell me about the school. What were your recollections of the school when you first went there?
I was very scared. I was the only one person that had passed for that particular year from the Sudbrook School and Port Stewart School. So I was very much on my own. Bit scaring, really. Yeah.
What numbers, you mentioned Sudbrook School and Port Stewart School combined in that year, what numbers would they be? How many would it be? How big were the classes?
About 20, I should imagine, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Each one, yes.
Yeah. So you were scared? Were you scared because it was new? Were you scared for other reasons?
Was I really qualified in learning to be taken part in a grammar school? Yeah, that was one of the things, yeah.
And from your point of view, going to the grammar school, do you think it benefited you?
Yes, because I think it gives me an edge to get an apprenticeship, even in those days. Friendships were very hard to get, and there was a girl actually living next door to us, next door but one to us, who worked in the offices there, and my father got to know her obviously very well, and she got me the interview. So in a way, I was lucky to get an apprenticeship, and even in them days, yeah.
Mm. And was Red and White a big employer in the area?
Oh yes, it was one of about 150 people, which is quite an amount for that area, yes.
And where were they based?
In Bulwark, yes, in Bulwark, yeah.
And did they do all their own coach building?
Coach building and repairs, yes. That was the main workshops, and that was the main workshops for lots of areas around, for up the valleys, Tredegar, all around. They are their little workshops, but whenever big work came, it came to the Chepstow area. Mm.
Yes. So when you took the job after leaving school, did you continue to live in Sudbrook?
I did, yes, I did.
And how did you get back and forth to work?
I was on my bike then, a push bike. Yeah, and I remember one incident very rigidly. Going down Paul Merrick here, I had a speed wobble because I thought I could go fast down the hill. And I managed to get a speed wobble, which I nearly ended up in the fence down the bottom, or the ball down the bottom. I pulled out of it. But it was a matter of, yes, it was a matter for a many long time of going by push bike to my work.
Mm. And how far is that roughly, do you know?
5 miles.
5 miles, yeah. And how long would that have taken you?
Oh, about 20, half an hour probably, yes.
And all weathers?
All weathers, yes, that's right.
So the apprenticeship, how long was the apprenticeship?
It was 5 years. It was a 5-year apprenticeship, and then you went on improver's rate after that for another 2 years. The manager there didn't give you the money straight away. You know, when you got your apprenticeship, he kept you on, but he said you were improving now for 2 more years. So it was very limited money.
So tell me something about the work, the skills that you acquired, the work that you did, and the skills that you acquired.
It was coach building. Coach building relates to a lot of things, from the woodwork side of things, to the upholstery side of things, to the mechanical side of things, to the lathe work. Well, they made their own components. Everything was fixed in that place. Yeah, different, so many different trades was associated with coach building. Yes.
So you acquired all of those skills.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Yeah, put in good stead.
And the frame was made with wood. So what sort of wood would they have used?
It was always hardwood. Yes, ash most of the time. Yes, which is a good quality wood, as you can imagine.
Mm. And the seating, what sort of material was used for the seating?
Very difficult to explain that. It wasn't leather, it was like a woolen upholstery, yeah.
Mm. So you completed your apprenticeship, you did 2 years as an improver.
Yeah.
And then you went on to the skills rate.
Yes, I managed to stay there, yeah.
Yeah, and how long did you continue to work there?
Another several years, until I was getting towards getting married, about 25, 26 years old. I wanted some more money, so that a position came on the railway that I was able to take, doing maintenance work, and it was more money, so I went there for quite a few number of years.
And you were living where then?
I was living in Sudbrook then, in the villas, which is opposite Stone Colleges. There's a bigger houses. In fact, I was living with the mother-in-law and father-in-law. They had the property, and we rented just the one room at that time. Mm.
And the work was actually in the village?
Yes, it was no travelling involved whatsoever, mm. No.
And what work did you do?
It was maintenance, mostly carpentry, surprising, and you'd have to turn your hand to help in all the fitters and electricians, pulling pumps up and maintaining pumps. There were 6 big pumps in the big house, and that was stretched to about 300 metres, 300 yards, I should say, down into the bottom to suck the water out of the Severn Tunnel, yeah, which was the main.
And those pumps... Could you describe the pumps for the listeners? What sort of fuel did they use and how did they operate?
Yes, it was a diesel, Merle's diesel engines were the main source, and they were from ships. That was the main source of electricity to have worked the pumps up. Yeah, we produced our own electricity, in other words, to run the place.
And were those diesel engines original from the construction of the tunnel, or were they a later addition?
No, as far as I know, they were right from the beginning. Yeah, they had to be because of the main problem with the water in the tunnel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what happened to the water after it had been pumped out?
It was, a lot of it went to Dinham. A lot of it was pushed up towards Dinham. Also, a lot of it went into the River Severn, which was a handicap, really, because that water was pure spring water, and many a summer we had no water in anywhere around the area, and it was up to 20 million gallons a day were being pumped into the River Severn. Complete waste. Mm. You know, I used to try and get the councillors to do something about it, but they never seemed to want to. Then Sudbrook Pulp Mill came along, I can't remember the actual year, and they took water there to be able to use their process. And then the place in Mager, the breweries, was lovely water, this is what they're saying, perfectly ideal water, which was very cold and very suitable for beer making. So that's why Mager came to be. Yeah.
And you mentioned Dinham, so what was happening at Dinham, what did they use the water for?
I'm not quite sure what they used it for, but it wasn't long after that when the Americans took the base over, and they were doing whatever they were doing there with our armaments. I think that's probably why they used
it. So a military base?
Military base became, yes, in Corwent, yes.
So you continued living in Sudbrook for how long after you'd started with the rail company?
About 7 years, I think it was, yes. Mm.
And then you moved to?
To Carlycot then, Mill Lane. I went to Mill Lane to live, yes. as I can remember, yeah.
Mm. Can you tell us something about that house?
It was a brand new house, which obviously appealed to us then, you know, to the wife and myself.
Mm.
And it was more accessible for, because there's no shops in Sudbrook, just a little post office.
Mm.
And selling little small stuff. But Caldicott was the main source, so therefore you had to go to Caldicott to get all your groceries. Yeah.
So Caldicott, throughout your life, would have been the centre for shopping?
Yes.
And did you have any social activities in Sudbrook before you moved?
There was a non-political club. That's the only, it was a pub as such, but it was a non-political club. And they used to hold little events there for the village, yes. That's right.
Dances?
Sorry?
Did you go to dances when you were young?
I'm not sure about that.
Dances?
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Dances?
Dancing.
Oh, dancing. I beg your pardon. Sorry, my ears are bad. Yes, a little bit. Yeah, a little jigging around. Yes, that's right.
Was that in the club?
In the club itself, yes.
Yeah.
It was the feature place.
Yeah.
And they played cards at night for all the people, you know, different sorts of card games. I wasn't involved with that.
Yeah. But all generations used it as their...
As a focal place, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Until Caldicott came along and Port Skewer.
Yeah. And so in Caldicott, you were already familiar with Caldicott. And what year was that you moved to Caldicott?
Oh dear. I can't be sure.
Roughly?
The 50s, but you know, the 50s, I should think I'm talking about, yeah.
Can you tell us what Caldicott was like then?
Yes, it wasn't as big as it is now, that's for sure. Well, I think the influx from people from Ebervale, etc., as far as I'm aware. But we had Washbourne's in the middle of the town selling petrol. They had a petrol station and they also had a showroom selling cars. I managed to buy my first minivan there, brand new, from Ray Washbourne. And I can't recall the price, but I can recall the petrol being 25 pence per gallon. It was four gallon, you know, four, though, it was a pound for that, yeah, that's right, for that gallon, yeah. Mm. Unbelievable. We were on a par with, at that time, with the base in, as I said, the American base where they were doing their denim. And they used to get it cheaper again for all the personnel that worked there. So we was a bit taken out of that. But 25 pence a car wasn't that too bad, was it?
Mm. And what other facilities were there in Caldicott? Shops and other facilities, library?
Nothing, yes. I think there was a library, but I can't remember exactly. I didn't attend it. We had a travelling van. Library van that served the village, come twice a week mostly.
Is that when you say the village there? You mean Caldicott?
In Sudbrook.
In Sudbrook.
Yeah, I should have said Sudbrook. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And did you use those books?
Yes, everybody used them. Yeah, yes, it was a good source.
Yeah. And coming back to Caldicott, so there were shops, grocery shops.
Yes, it seemed to spring up.
The sort of shops in there.
Yes, everything that you needed, really, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So you had no need to go further afield?
No, that's right. Chepstow was too far away, and even from Sudbrook, it was 5 miles, but it was only 2 miles past the later.
And so tell me more about what happened in work. So by now you were still working for the rail company when you moved to Caldicott?
Yes.
Yes. So did you continue to work for the rail company?
I was, yes, I did for many years. And then I went back to the Red and White because people that I was working with say I was wasted, really, because the sort of mundane work I was doing in the maintenance for that particular site, they said that I should, having a trade, I should get back to the trade. So I went back to the Red and White to pick up my trade, which was obviously slightly different. It was all metal then, aluminium and steel and little bits, not so much wood, different type of bus being made altogether. So I learnt that and I stayed there for another 7 years.
And so again, it was building the coachwork?
Yes, it was still being coachwork, yes.
Coach. And?
Mostly repairs.
Mostly repairs.
Mostly repairs, yeah.
So they were still building some coaches. Were they buying any coaches ready-built?
It became to the stage then of a different type of bus altogether. It was the minibuses came in to be in eventually. And they would be bought new from Birmingham. We used to have to go and get them from Birmingham and fetch them back a fleet of buses. And that was, they seemed to, they still had the old double-deckers and nationals, etc., and coaches to do up and keep maintained. But yes, that's when the minibuses came in.
Mm-hmm. So what date are we talking about when the minibuses came in, roughly?
Oh dear. I can't put a figure on the date. Probably it was late 60s, 70s, probably, yes, I would say.
Mm. And you continued to work for Red and White while they were still there?
While they were still there. Tesco opened up at a big warehouse in Bulwark. So I applied to get work there on the maintenance schedule, and I was lucky enough to get, with a little bit of experience, I gather. I used to go for Tesco's.
And this was after Red and White?
After the Red and White, yes, this was after the Red and White. A little bit more money involved again, as we should do.
Yeah, and what date would that be, do you think?
Oh, when they I can't remember the date they opened it up. Sorry, I'd be wrong to say a date because I'm not sure.
Mm.
It was brand new Tesco, yeah, sure.
And
distribution.
Distribution, yes. And you continue to live in Caldecott all this time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you continue to work in the warehouse, in the distribution warehouse?
In Bulwark, yes.
Until when?
I think I had another 7 or 8 years there. And then I applied for a job in Newport doing teaching because I felt I had to give something back. I was lucky to get my apprenticeship and always be in work, so I thought, well, the job came up to be, so I had to qualify for teaching, I had to get my credentials to do teaching, because I didn't have them other than my apprenticeship, etc. And I managed to get 3 teaching initiations there, and it's called D21, 22, 23, that's the teaching exams.
And what would they qualify you to do?
To do teaching for these people from St. Caddocks. This is where I mostly got my input from Caldecott. Yeah. The other place, our main base was in Tredegar Park, the main offices, and they also had a gardening division which done this very similar sort of thing to the woodwork division, which was in the Newport Pearl, this is where I was situated. And yes.
So tell me about the the students. What about the students? What age were they? And other things about them, what you can think of about them?
They varied in age, obviously. Some had only just left school, and they'd had mental problems within St. Caddocks. And it was felt that they could still be useful in doing woodwork. And so being a woodwork teacher then, we used to make lots of different things, from benches, you name it. His work would be coming in and I'd supervise the work. And believe it or not, although they were mentally capacitated, a lot of them, they could turn their hand. They were very appreciative of being able to do a skill, is what they were concerned about.
Mm. And you mentioned St. Caddocks. Can you tell us more about St. Caddocks?
Only the fact that I had to go there before the job started, I had to go there to make sure that I knew what sort of people I would be taking on and was I capable of doing that. Yeah, so it was a bit odd, really, yes.
What was the purpose of St. Caddocks?
It was a mental institution anyhow, in the beginning, but they seemed to think they would try these people to, rather than just sit around all day moping around, give them a trade of some sort, you know, or the chance to learn a trade. And that's how the two things come into being, growing space becoming to being, yeah.
Growing Space.
Growing Space is the name of the company or the the people.
And that was it funded by Newport Council or by some other organisation?
They was always in trouble getting funding. Yeah. The Newport Technical Colleges obviously funded them because they had to do exams. They had to do try and get them through some exams. That was part of the issue. And the council, and they got wherever they could. Yeah, it was never, a big thing
And do you know what happened to them after they'd left? Do you know of any cases, what sort of jobs they did?
I had to, as part of my training and part of my job, I had to go to different establishments in Newport to try and get them some work. You know, once they acclimatised, that's the word, to doing some work, I used to have to try and go to these employers to see if they could possibly. I got a few started, but they didn't last very long. They still had a bad mind, that's the best way to say. So they weren't, they were on benefits, and sometimes I think the benefits outweighed everything else. They had to live, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
The fortunate thing or the unfortunate thing was a lot of them was on drugs. And they didn't seem to be able to get off drugs and alcohol at the same time, which made them a bit wobbly for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I had people coming in sometimes and you could see they were way out.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to allow them to use machinery because we had a lot of machinery there.
Mm-hmm.
And make them go and sit in the restroom and recover a little bit if they could.
Mm-hmm. And did you enjoy that work?
I really enjoyed it because I felt I was helping society, I was helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was very lucky myself to have got to that stage, with all the work that I'd done, I really, they were nice people, they're nice people, and they appreciated me trying to help them.
Yeah. And did you continue to work there until your retirement?
Yes, I eventually got laid off because the funding again was the problem, and they found that they couldn't keep me there, so I was laid off then.
So anything else you'd like to say that I might have missed out?
No, I think I've got quite a selection there for you. Oh, is this something coming out?
Oh yeah, hobbies.
Hobbies, right. I still, obviously, once I'd finished in the technical colleges in Newport, I used to, I went out and do, being a qualified carpenter then, I was doing lots of different work around the villages and take on what work I could get on board, for quite a few number of years. And eventually that phased out, and I still do my woodwork to different people if they want me to do work. Somebody like Jan, and I do a lot of wood carving.
Do you?
Yes, that's my interest now is wood carving. Mm. I don't do the lathe work so much because it's too dusty and I got asthma. So there's a lot of dust coming off lathe work. So I do just carving and I can manage that okay.
Can you tell us more about the carving? What sort of things that you produce?
I do a lot of stuff, whatever comes to my head. And around Christmas time that was coming up, I'd make a lot of reindeers and a lot of stuff associated with Christmas. All different stuff, stools, you name it, for little children, around heart stools and stuff like that. Yeah, so I do it.
What sort of materials do you use?
It's softwoods or hardwoods, yes, most of the time. With carving, it's lime. Lime is the best wood for carving. It's very straight and very, I've got a flair, it's very good, so I use that.
Where do you get the wood from?
From Newport. I get mostly from Newport, yes. It's a place down by the bridge down there, yes.
You can edit this out, can't you?
Yeah. Right. Can I just say thank you?
Ask him about all of the carving in the garden, which is a feature of the village.
All of the carving.
It was St. John,
and
yeah.
Can I add that he donates a lot of his carvings to the Bowles Club to raise funds.
Okay. So the first of all, the carving in the village. Can you tell me about the carving in the village?
I do all sorts of, that's what John was saying, that I do all sorts of carving, yes. And I like to go down to the River Severn, which is not far away, about a mile away, and I pick up flotsam and stuff like that that looks animal-like or whatever I can appears to me. And I fetch that back and I put it on display in the garden. They're all different sorts of stuff. And as well as my carvings that I do, yes. Mm. I like fairies and stuff like that. But I think I've been prompted at a couple of years ago. I thought after my wife had died, which is just over 3 years now, I was doing my work, but I thought I'd want to get out the house a little bit, so people encouraged me to go out. So I joined the local bowling club in Chepstow Bowling Club, and it's been a massive asset for me. Yes, a massive asset. Knowing all the people, very kind people. So, and I still do a little bit of maintenance for him, so because I'm so handy.
Donates stuff to the bowling club.
Oh, I was saying, I make, when they have their different venues on for the to raise money, you know. Yes, I try to do what I can to provide them with a lot of different wood stuff.
Well, I'm very pleased to have heard your story. We're grateful to have heard your story and a fascinating life. So thank you very much.
That's kind. Thank you very much.
Terry Hodges.
Okay.
Did I say
no,
at the beginning?
No, you didn't ask.
Terry.
Terry Hodges.
Terry
Hodges.
Hodges.
Yes.
Right. Okay.